Alrighty, we're back, and things have changed. The Lions are on an actual winning streak. I am, of course, Nick Baumgartner, along with Colton Pouncey. Welcome back to another episode of One of These Years. A winning streak, Colton. I don't know when the hell the last time the Lions have been on a winning streak, but this is the first time things have felt like they've been good for the Lions, I guess, in like five years. I don't know. How are we doing? Back from New York.
Yeah, back from New York. Got a couple slices from my favorite New York pizza joint.
He went to Sbarro.
I love how people have not caught on that yet. A whole new audience for Lions
that
fans.
That scene was 20 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. How have you not caught on?
See, I did that for Michigan State. Like, I think I started in 2019.
When they go to Rutgers, again, right?
Yes. Yeah. Now I have a whole new audience do that. Be back next month. I'll do it back. Do it all again.
When they go to the Jets. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But honestly, great trip for the Lions.
Really was.
We talked about that. That was a game that was winnable. Like,
yes.
No one was scared by the 7-2 record. I think a lot of their wins were close, and the roster was pretty comparable to the Lions. And, man, they went in there and did their thing. Like, I'm sure that was everything Campbell wanted to see. Took care of the football, forced some turnovers there on defense. Like, that was to go up, like, 19 in the fourth quarter and have that comfortable win. Like,
right, yeah.
Haven't been just many games like that this see. Year.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know the last time there was a comfortable lead like that.
I think the coolest part about it was that it came against that team. Like, the Giants were the team that the Lions kind of want to be. Like, the Daboll's done such a good job there. They've had buy-in just like the Lions have. The record and the one-score games, all that stuff, which they're still a great record, one-score games. Like you said, Colton, the Lions beat the crap out of them. But, like, that's the Giants aren't a team that's different than the Lions necessarily in terms of talent. That's what we talked about at the end of the show last week. And Campbell talked about it to the team right after in the locker room. You had to be perfect. You had to be clean. You couldn't make mistakes or couldn't be like, oh, God, here we go again with that. They dodged some bullets in this game, to be clear, but, you know, that happens in the NFL every week. They couldn't kill themselves. They had to play good, clean football, and they were going to be right where they needed to be to win the game. That's exactly what they did. And I said after the game, I don't know when the last time a lot of this stuff, but, like, this was the first time that it felt like the Lions played and looked objectively good, just plain good, probably since Caldwell was around, or maybe in the first year of Patricia before it really went to hell. Somewhere probably in there, which was 2017, 2018. So that's a long time.
First three-game winning streak since 2017.
So 2017, there you go. Yeah, Caldwell, so that feels right.
Yeah, I guess Patricia didn't do that because he came in 2018,
no,
right?
Yeah. No, and Caldwell's last year was, 2017, which, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, but they had a team that was probably playoff capable, and everybody knew it. So, and that's why he got fired, of course. That was their rationale. But, you know, which, of course, we look back on now, and it was ridiculous. But, you know, like, that was a good team. My point is that was a team that we expected to be good. So when they had a three-game winning streak, it wasn't anything shocking. This is not, man, I don't know if I'd call it shocking, but, like, hey, man, like, this, suddenly we look at the Lions and we say, this doesn't look like a rudderless ship. This now looks like a really exciting, maybe exciting young core of guys who are kind of figuring it out together in certain areas, right? I mean, that's what that takeaway was for me after that game.
Yeah, as I was watching that, I was like, a lot of this feels sustainable. Like,
it does.
It doesn't feel like guys are, like, playing
over their head or,
where they can't match that every single week. Like, even when Goff was going off the first, you know, few games of the season, like, part of you wondered, like, can you do that the whole season? Mm-hmm. And if not, like, that's, you know.
Right.
It's hard to do over the course of a season. Like, that's tough. I get it. But what they're doing now where, hey, we're going to run the ball down your throat. I think they had 160 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns on the ground.
Every week it's there.
Goff, like, just make the throws when we need you to make them. Like, don't turn the ball over. You play smart, efficient football. He's doing that, and he's doing it without a lot of his top options. Like, DJ Chark came back but didn't play a ton.
Right.
Josh Reynolds is still out. You know, Jameson's going to make his return a couple weeks probably. But still, they're shorthanded in the meantime. And he's stepped up and has done what's asked of him. And on defense, like, even the turnovers, it's like some of these guys, like Aiden, we've seen him make these plays. Kirby, we've seen him make these plays. Like, that just might be part of
just
their
a thing.
Game
yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, like, exactly.
You can say it's unsustainable, but I don't really look at it this way because a lot of the plays that they're making are just like a product of this team and who these guys are. So, I mean, for them to go in and to New York and do that on the road against a 7-2 team, like, that's, man, that's probably the best narrative of the season so far. And, I mean, they're going to try to keep it rolling. But that was a good one to get, I think.
Yeah, I mean, even down to the, you know, Aiden getting the fumble recovery, you know, yeah, and it's like in a play that he looks like most guys are out of, you know, and it's like, that's replicable. That's where, like, you know, when we would go through the draft eval stuff, and it's always hard when, like, we talk to Dane, and it's like, it's always hard when you, when people want to dog somebody for their hustle. And it's like, because you don't dog them for their hustle. You understand where people will say, well, this guy gets a lot of sacks because, you know, because he works really hard. And if that's all it is, and that's all it is or whatever. But the reality of it is, if you're a top-notch athlete and you haul ass and you hustle, but that's like, that's next level. And that's absolutely replicable. It's contagious. And not only do you see it from Hutchinson, but I think you see it from Kirby and you see it from Rodriguez and Okuda at this point when he's out there. He got hurt a little bit there, but, you know, when he's out there now, you look at the Lions defensively, that they've, you know, reconfigured some things. They've switched. We haven't even talked about Aleem McNeil, for crying out loud, who set a PFF record. They've reconfigured some things and switched some things around, and sort of, I think more than anything, they put their trust in some guys, that some young guys that were capable of handling it and have answered the bell. And now you look at that and you see a bunch of young guys playing their butts off for a coach that they believe in, and it looks a lot better than it did 6 weeks ago, does it not? I mean, things have changed a little bit, right?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, just the way that they've been able to come together, and that's what you want to see, right? Some of these young guys stepping in, integrating themselves into this lineup. The veterans still making plays when they need to. Like, Will Harris was the one that forced that fumble.
Big time.
That was a great play on him. And that was at a time in the game where
had to have it.
I didn't really think it was, you know, I didn't really see the Giants coming back in that one, but I understand some of you guys out there might have had that feeling.
Yeah. I mean,
that's when
fair.
We put the nail in the coffin and
right.
close that game.
Step
out
on their throat. Right.
Exactly. And, you know, this wasn't even a close game. We talked about winning these close ones. They were able to win comfortably because of the way they played.
Right.
And I think that's so important. And Campbell was fired up after that one.
Yes.
Like, you guys played their asses off. Like, you saw the locker room video. That was another great one. And the thing is, like, I talked to Aleem McNeil in the locker room, and he was like, I think I asked him, like, are there games where you just kind of know that's going to go your way? Like, at what point do you kind of figure that out? He was asked, like, a follow-up question. He's like, I knew at, like, 7:15 a.m. when I woke up that if we played our game just based on, like, the scouting and what we knew about this team, this was one that we were going to win pretty easily. And
that's football, man. That's good stuff.
These guys are thinking about that, and you know, that's the way they wake up and they think. Because some it's easy. Like, some guys can say that, but they might – you know, be like, oh, we're losing this game, but, you know.
Trust me, it works the other way. Yeah. Right.
So for him to wake up and be like, no, we're getting this one. And he said it was a product of the last two wins, like beating the Packers, beating the Bears. Now you wake up with that feeling like we can win some of these games. And didn't matter if it was a 7-2 playoff team on the road. They went in that game thinking they can win. They went out and did what was asked of them, and they got it done. So that's progress. That's where this team is at, and I think that's – That kind of tells you the state of this franchise right now and where they're going.
This felt like a similar sort of feeling that you had when you watched them play late last year against Arizona. You know, that was probably the most notable one. They got the other win later there too. But the Arizona one where the Carters were still fighting for their life and they made the playoffs, but they needed that game and the Lions just beat their ass. I mean, it was they physically handled them. And they had a great plan, and it was one of the same types of things where a lot of the guys afterward, you talk to them, and they were like, and that was like week 14 or 15, it was really late. And they all kind of said, they're like, this was the first time maybe all year that we all kind of thought, we have this one. Like, the plan was perfect, we believed in it, we knew what we could do against these guys, and they just ran the ball down their throat because Arizona's soft or whatever, right? So it worked, and they saw it. And I think when they came into this season, the Lions staff thought, okay, well, we're just going to build off of where they were in that game or in that space of time. And, you know, that was December. That was the end of the year. That was at a time when the NFL is not normal, right? Like, you're at the end of an NFL season. It's not like it is at the beginning. And I think that all parties involved over those first 7 weeks made mistakes, and that includes the coaching staff, that includes the players. But I think these last 3 weeks, not just because they won the game, but the efforts that they've played with were what this coaching staff expected when they talked as bold as they did. Because we did see glimpses of this late last year. We did. It wasn't, you know, they beat a playoff team and they hammered them. And, you know, it was one that they had some advantages roster-wise, and they took advantage of them and made the other team feel it. Like, that's what this was. And to be able to do that in a couple weeks in a row, that's impressive. And I think that now you can see maybe why they thought the way they did when the season started. Things changed, but now you're back to maybe, I think, kind of where they hoped to be when the year started.
And I wonder how much the coaches saw that last year and maybe started to get ahead of themselves just a little
bit. Yeah, I think they did.
Because some of the pieces that are contributing now, you know, they were rookies. They weren't around last year, so they needed time to kind of get their feet wet and kind of learn this league. And then you also have some of these guys that were veterans that were around last year finally kind of getting back to the way they were, I guess. So, you know, it is good to see, but I will say, I don't know, this they still, like, I don't want to crown them a playoff team or anything yet. I think some fans might be getting ahead of themselves, but, like, again, like, you can't be mad at this. Like,
no.
Three games in a row.
Yeah.
First time since 2017. These rookies are contributing and they're playing well. You have other guys contributing, playing well. And the locker room's feeling good. I think that's all you can ask for right now at this point in season.
I think that's the biggest thing is they were able to, because it wasn't feeling good 3 weeks ago, when I went out there. I mean, like, it wasn't feeling good. I mean, in relative speaking, like, I've been in worse locker rooms, obviously. I've been and that was good to see that they hadn't lost it or anything like that. And I didn't expect that. But it was a little sullen and surprised. And I think that the word somebody had said that they were, that was the day that TJ got traded, or the day after that I went out there. Mm-hmm. And the young guys were shocked that a guy like that had been traded. And it was like 3 days after Aubrey had gotten fired. And that was a huge shock to everybody. And I think after TJ's trade, it was like, okay, well, like, this is just a business. This is just a thing. Like, no one's panicking. And then they had their meeting or whatever. And they kind of just, I don't know. It felt like they stopped freaking out and just went out and played. And I tweeted the thing after the game, like, they're 3-0 since they traded TJ. And I had to tweet after, like, I don't mean that they are 3-0 because they traded TJ. I just mean that they're 3-0, the ceiling wasn't falling then, it's not falling now, it was a good trade at the time, it's a good trade now. I don't know what happened that week, a lot of things happened, but whatever it was, I think it added pressure in the right spots, and it took pressure away in the right spots, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
but it felt like happened, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it tightened up for sure, and honestly, like, it's easy to say this now, but even back then we were saying this, like, they were competitive in these games. They just
couldn't. Every one of them, except the New England game.
Except New England. Like, every single game they were in the fourth quarter. And so I think some of it is just a progress, you know, a product of natural growth from some of these guys. But they also just, like, got tired of it, you know? I think Jamal was the one who's like, I'm tired of losing these games. Like, we just got to come together and win them. And it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to go out and do. And they've done that 3 weeks in a row now. They've got some momentum, and we're leading into a pretty interesting Thanksgiving game now. I'm not saying they're going to get it, but this is a team with some momentum, and they're riding the high of that for sure. And we'll get a chance to talk to some of these guys later this afternoon. But, I mean, I imagine they're hyped for this one. It's another test for them to kind of prove where they're at. Maybe a bit of a measuring stick. Even if you lose, like, they're still set up for the rest of the season to kind of do some damage here. So they're in a good spot.
They are in a good spot. Let's touch on this Giants game here before we get into Thanksgiving. And I know it's a short week, so maybe we'll go a little shorter here today. But the Giants, I mean, this was, like I said, I mean, objectively, just a good all-around day. Defensively, of course, Aleem McNeil has the 10 pressures, which that is a record, right? PFF error, I mean, in terms of PFF's charting or something like this. What do you got?
McNeil generated 10 pressures in week 11 against the Giants. That's the new leader in single-game pressures by a defender over 320 pounds in the PFF era since 2006.
So there you go. Since that's perfect. I love that stat. That's I saw that, and when it came in, I'm like, oh, that has to be a record of some kind, like for Lions or something. Like, I was like, that's crazy for a defensive tackle.
All of last year.
I looked at it. He doubled his number. I think he's up to 20 now. Like, he literally doubled his number in that game.
Wow.
I think. Yeah. So he's like, and 20 is good, you know, for an interior tackle who's asked to do an awful lot. But you mentioned earlier, Colton. So
he had 10 in the first 9 games, and then
I think so
in the 10th game.
That's it was either half or a third. So he's either up to 30 or 20. It was an even number. I could be shorting him. But I might be shorting him because he's been good all
either
year.
Either way, that's impressive.
But that's impressive either way. That's kind of his game. But I mean, like you mentioned it earlier, there's a guy that, you know, last year that they liked a lot of where he was. I don't think that anybody disliked what he was doing early in the season, but like given the right matchup, given the right whatever, he's a dude. Like he is really good. And I think we've all seen that for some time. This was a breakout more than anything else. It was an extension of something that we've seen. We talk about replicable. Oh yeah, he's a problem. Like I think that he's a guy for a lot of these teams. Giants aren't very good in the middle, and a lot of teams aren't. And you know, Aleem gave Chicago problems too. It's the same same idea. This is something that can be a thing for you all year long.
Yeah. Wasn't there a team that – I forgot which team it was. But there was a team out there where the draft video leaked that they wanted to trade up for him or something.
Oh, really?
And the Lions snagged him.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
And, like, people kind of pieced it together. Like,
he was a hidden guy in college. Because I don't know why. Yeah. He was a weird – remember, Chris and I found this out. Like, he was a – God, what was he? Like a fullback or a some shit in high school? He ran the ball. He was like a running back or something. He's got those long arms. He can squat under people. He played at NC State, which is not a place that a lot of people, you know what I mean? Yeah.
It was the Eagles.
Eagles? Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Can you imagine Lee McNeil on that front? Man, that'd be crazy.
God almighty.
But, I mean, yeah, he's a dude. And he's one of those guys that kind of goes unnoticed when you're, you know, talking about these players and these young guys just because the position he plays is not really a sexy position. But he's capable of games like this, especially if he had, like, Levi next to him. Like,
oh, God.
Man. And he's doing this with, like, you know, not to discredit, like, Isaiah Bugs and these other guys.
He played really well, too. Bugs did. Yeah.
He did. But I think...
But no, I know what you mean.
100%. By another dude, another attacking guy like that. So, for him to have a game like that, that kind of further emphasizes, like, he's another young building block.
Absolutely.
They've got some pieces. You're starting to see it come together. And we have been saying that for, you know, a couple weeks now. But when you got these pieces that are going out and performing and now they're contributing to wins, it just changes the entire outlook on a team, really.
And you mentioned the Hutchinson, you know, it's two more turnovers he picks up there, I suppose. That's a second interception. And, you know, you said that, you know, maybe this is just something that he does. And I think that that was really well said, because I think it kind of might be, like, especially the coverage. I think they're going to extend, you know, they already have sort of to a degree, they extend the ask of what they ask him to do than maybe what I already thought that they would do in typical with cover. Typically, we'll see a guy like that maybe just drop into a flat, right, or pick up a back. They've got him kind of spying in the middle. I mean, they're comfortable with him making reads. I think that when you watch him, and when I tweeted, like, he's never out of a play, ever, and it's not just the hustle. Like, he is so good laterally to where even if he loses a block, and this is why he's deceptively good, even if he loses a block, he sheds it, shuffles, and then finds a way to sort of like funnel the ball back to where it needs to go. Like, Aiden Hutchinson is one of, I don't know if there's like an assist tackle thing out there somewhere, but he's probably one of the best that you'll find in terms of like helping funnel plays and not losing contain and not losing his edge. And just, you know, even if he loses a block, he's not out of a play because he can still sort of help funnel the ball to somebody who can make a play.
Sure.
All of that stuff is showing up for him, and it has been impressive. That thing on that interception, I've never seen him do that. I've watched Aiden Hutchinson up close for quite a while, more than I ever cared to or thought I would. Of course, it was not planned, but I've been watching Aiden Hutchinson play football since like 2017 pretty regularly. I've never seen him do that. And that was impressive. I mean, he is, it's a hard, you can understand now, right? He was a hard guy to describe all the things he did well. It was just like he does everything really well, and the end product is good. And I think that's kind of what people are seeing. There's not any one area that you point to and say he's going to dominate this or dominate that. He's just going to be like a good player who impacts a lot of areas, I think.
So he's not a bust? Is that what you're saying?
Not a bust. Not a ghost or anything like that. No, not a bust. No.
But what you just mentioned was great. And I think, you know, some of the ways they're using him now, I wonder how much of that they knew at the beginning of the year and how much they learned.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just by watching
that could be,
practice
right.
And getting better and natural growth and things like that, you know. Maybe they saw him in practice make a play like that.
I think
like,
so, yeah.
Hey,
that's possible.
He's got that ability. That's even better for us. Let's do it in the game.
Right.
And Daniel Jones did not even see him.
No!
Had no idea he was there. But he went up and got it, and that was an
play.
It looks
like a hell of a
play.
End.
It
was a hard catch.
When you got guys contributing like that and the way they're doing, like if you're continuing to make plays like that, whether it was the Justin Fields, you know, the dropping back a little bit and kind of messing up the tight end screen, you know, picking off Rodgers in the end zone. If you're doing that consistently, that's not a fluke. It's just who you are at that point. And not saying he's going to lead the league in interceptions, but
yeah.
It just shows that he can impact games in more ways than just, you know, oh, he only has – 5 sacks. That's not good enough. He should have 12 right now. Well, he's contributing in other ways, and you can look at that too. And that's sort of where he's at as a player, and he's going to keep getting better from here.
Where the draft was this year and where the Lions had their pick, it was either him or Trayvon. And I think that, you know, I had convinced myself somewhere along the way that they had fallen in love with Thibodeau, and I was probably too deep in my own brain, I'll say on that one. But in reality, for the defense, what they needed, based on everybody that was there, were those two guys, because those two guys are very similar, Walker and Aiden, in that I don't think either of them are ever going to lead the league in anything. You know what I mean? Kayvon might lead the league in sacks for a number of years. And I think Kayvon's a great pass rusher and is going to be a great pass rusher for a long time. He did get his ass kicked way too many times in the run, though, as everyone saw in this game. And that is why Hutchinson and Walker were the two that stood out for this class. Neither guy is going to be what we would consider, I don't think, like a 20 sack, 80, like that. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. But I wouldn't rule it out for either of them to pull something like that off either, given the right year. They come in bunches, like you said. Or like we've talked about before, Aiden's had multiple sack games where a guy doesn't account for him to be there and he just randomly runs into him and it's a sack. I mean? Like, that's sort of how you pick those plays up. I just think in aggregate at the end of the day, that's why, it's been 11 games. People ask us to track these guys. What would a good season for Aiden Hutchinson look like? I think we've arrived at it. He's had a good season. He's in the Rookie of the Year conversation.
He's playing like he wants it.
Yeah, and I think Sauce Gardner is going to be pretty tough to beat in that one. He's one of the best corners in football right now, regardless of age. No doubt. But Aiden's an all-rookie type guy, and it speaks, so is Malcolm, so is Kirby. And I think that, man, that's pretty good. That's pretty, pretty good when you look across the board here for a group that has taken its licks, has had some adversity already, gone through it, and they're coming together. You can see it. Like, it's been fun to watch that defense the last couple weeks.
Three guys in one class on an all-rookie team. I mean,
it's not bad. And not Aleem bad. Is a second-year guy.
Yep.
Right? And, it's coming together here to a degree that I don't know defensively. Are you surprised? I am surprised defensively. This is not something that I saw coming. It's been, and I'm surprised. I think that I give credit to the coaches, of course, Aaron Glenn, those guys. But this is to those guys that we just mentioned, Aiden Hutchinson, Kirby Joseph, Malcolm, like the mental fortitude there to be a rookie and not let any of this stuff really bother you at all and just keep, that is impressive. And I think that's more than anything what has stood out to me. I think that we knew that the Lions had that with McNeil, and we can talk about the offense and St. Brown and these guys. But those others on defense, those other three right there, man, that's good stuff. To be able to just keep going and not let it bother you, and it clearly hasn't, right? And I think the other guys see that too. I think those are three guys that you can look at and say future leader types, in the locker room.
I think it's the guys that they drafted. We knew Aiden was going to be good, but he's also a high-character dude that's going to put in the work, and we knew that going into it. But a guy like Malcolm, he kind of came in and was like, I'm just going to do my job until I impress you enough to where you put me in the starting lineup. And that happened. We saw it happen slowly in training camp, working from the third team to the second team, getting a little bit of first team reps. We saw the Hard Knocks clip with Kelvin Shepard talking about this rookie taking your job. He went in there and took it. And ever since, he hasn't lost a starting job. And he's been a little banged up here. But, he's been pretty consistent for a rookie linebacker. And then Kirby Joseph, that kid is fearless, man. He's not afraid of anything. Every time I talk to him, I'll be like, it's funny. I asked him, like, do you need to stop doing backflips?
You
might get hurt, man. He's like, man, I don't care about that. We'll be good. We'll be good. And he was mad that he's like, I see Aiden get a pick. I want my own pick, Like, that's how we operate. Like, I see someone make a play. I want to go out there and make a play. Like, I'm fearless.
Right. And they are. Yeah. That's fair to say.
They're just going out there and they're balling. Like, they don't, they don't care about the reception of the franchise. They're young enough to, like, put that stuff to the side. They're just going out and playing football. Like, it's that simple. We're just playing.
Yeah. They do have a cool mix right now with that whole thing, because they do have guys like that you just said, guys that do not care where this place has been. It's whatever. I don't care. Like, that, it doesn't matter to me. You could draft me to Alaska and I would have had fun playing NFL football. That's what those, all three of the guys that you just mentioned. But you also go deeper there and you mentioned a guy like Jerry Jacobs, who I think loves the fact that he's playing at a place that has sucked historically, and he is now part of the reason that maybe they could not suck. He is such a positive, like, influence in the best way, and like a trash talker in the best way, and a guy that I think, Like, I think he's a guy that loves the fact that this place is what it is. And he's a guy that has been cast off his whole life. I don't even think he got run at Arkansas. I think he had to, like, come off the bench and, like, all this. another great game for him. Like, I mean, yeah. Jerry is another guy that if we were talking about him in the first month of the season, Aubrey Pleasant might still have his job, I would assume, right? I don't know. Maybe that's too much. But Jerry Jacobs, last couple weeks, has been outstanding.
Great. And I'm glad you brought him up, too. I almost forgot about him. There are a lot of good pieces to talk about, but
yeah,
he's just as much in that mix as anyone else. It's funny that you mentioned that he probably, you know, loves
being I think he does.
With a team like this. Because I noticed, if you watch after games, the Lions just give him a camera, like give him a phone,
yeah,
and
yeah.
let him mm-hmm. talk for like a minute. It's always gold. He's like, yeah, we out here. Detroit, what's up, baby? 3-0, three in a row. We got three in this. A row. Doug, we got it. And that's just who he is as a person. And
yeah.
As a second, you know, I guess a second year.
Second year, yep.
Free agent. Mm-hmm. Coming off an ACL, like we didn't really know what they were going to get out of him, but I mean,
he fits this place so well. Yeah, it's just perfect.
Perfect Campbell guy, perfect Glenn guy.
Yeah,
personality's infectious. We talked. One of the things I wondered was like, how many of those personalities do they have in this locker room? Like, just like every locker room needs one of those guys, a guy that's like infectiously positive, but also like is a shit talker. It could get everyone to laugh. Like, you know, every locker room needs one of those guys. I think Jerry's that guy.
Oh yeah. And I think he's playing well enough now. We've seen enough from Jerry Jacobs over the last whatever, not just this year, but last year too. I would say he's a guy you pencil in and say he's a guy that you're keeping for long term here. He's a good player. I don't know what I would label him as. Like, you know, he's a good second corner. Like, that's what I think Jerry, a good, solid, you don't have to worry about him. There are going to be matchups that he has trouble with, right? But, like, he's not, like you said, you want to talk about fearless. Like, that's the number one guy on the list. When they started training camp with nothing at the start of 2021, like, he was their favorite player for the first week, Jerry Jacobs. Like, that was the guy that after the first, like, 3 days, people were like, he's going to make the team. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, this guy is, no one even knows who the hell he is, where he came from. Doesn't matter. He, like, started a fight with somebody, like, 2 days ago, after, like, the first day they hit, and they love him. And, like, it just never stopped. So you were just like, okay, so even if he can't play, he's probably going to make the team. But then you figure out, okay, well, he actually can play. And it obviously has taken off from there. So that's been a really good find. Let's hit pause, Colton, really quick here, and then come back and go a little bit shorter on the other side and talk. Suddenly, a interesting Lions-Bills game on the holiday really quick. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, we're back. Lions-Bills here on Thanksgiving Day. Colton will be there to break it all down. Colton, this was like 6 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, I think we were like, are the Bills going to score 150 points in this game? Because, oh my God, like after the Lions played, I guess it was like Seattle probably, where it was really bad. We were like, they're not going to be able to like make a tackle against the Bills, which could still possibly happen. This is obviously a more interesting game, though. I mean, Lions 4-6. Like, you know, Vikings coming up here in a couple weeks. Jaguars on the other side of this. That's a winnable game. Like, Lions always play well on Thanksgiving. We know this. Buffalo is going to be here now for the second straight week, which is weird because they were playing here last week.
It was so weird watching, like, highlights of that game and seeing Detroit in the end zone or Lions, whatever. Yeah. It's like, where am I?
What's going on? Maybe I assume some of Bill's Mafia has been just hanging out in Metro Detroit for the last week and is ready to go for this thing. I don't know. It's going to be festive, I would assume, Colton. This is going to be, you're going to be, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to have Thanksgiving with the family so enjoy I don't get divorced. But this is always, now have you weren't there last year, were you? You didn't go.
No.
This is your first one?
First Thanksgiving.
Okay. Maybe. It's always a festive atmosphere. I would say get there early. You're not going to want to get stuck in the crowd there.
Yeah.
Now, the Lions are going to have a crowd. That's my point. They always play well on Thanksgiving. The Bills are really good. This is a different situation. I know they've had some injuries and all this, but I don't know. What are we thinking here going into this one?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, I would have said maybe stay at home and watch this one 150 on TV points, for like the first half and then turn it off and enjoy the rest of your day. But, I mean, it's interesting now just because of how the Lions have played. And
yeah.
You talk to these players, and they have so much confidence. And, you know, I think they kind of see this game, and we'll talk to them later, but I think they kind of see this game as sort of, you know, a measuring stick sort of game. Like, okay, we played, you know, what, a 3-8 Bears team, a 4-7 Green Bay team, you know, and then last week on the road, that was a good win, but it's also like the Giants aren't like world beaters. So this is like a first, like, legit opponent that you have coming off this win streak. And it's a good opportunity, a good test to see where they're at. It's at home. Maybe mm-hmm. the Bills are still kind of like sleepwalking a little bit, just with trying to get out of that snowstorm and everything. You right. know, it's tough. But I don't see the Lions winning it. But if they can keep it competitive.
You want to, yeah.
You look yeah. beyond that. And
right.
like after this game, that's kind of where I go with it. Like it doesn't yeah, really matter to me what happens in this one. As long as it's not like you don't lose 52-3.
Right.
I think you can still be positive about where this team is going. When you look at the schedule beyond, you've got the Jaguars. They got the Vikings, who they should have beaten the first time they played, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the Panthers, I think, in there. Or Jets yeah, who aren't and then good. The Panthers. And then
neither team is, yeah.
Bears and Packers to end. Right. Like, that's not, like, a tough schedule. So they can finish with some wins here if they play to their strengths. But in terms of this game in Buffalo, you know, we've seen them struggle with mobile quarterbacks. Josh Allen is mobile and can beat you with his arm and is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So that's going to be a tough challenge.
Yeah, they're Okuda loaded. Is, yeah.
Jeff Okuda is not playing. Mm-hmm. So Diggs might go off. You know, that's it's a game that probably doesn't set up, but I just think coming off the 3-game winning streak, like I could see them keeping it close. I would not be surprised by that.
I find this is super interesting now. You know, the Thanksgiving Day game here in Detroit has been around obviously forever, and it's means a lot to the people here. And it means a lot to the Fords, as everyone knows. And it's been a game that over the years where the Lions have struggled, it's been a game where they kind of look at and say, you know, if we get past Thanksgiving and we're, you know, still a mess, that's when we've seen change. And when I look at the last several Thanksgivings here, like you can look at last year was Campbell's first. It's a national showcase, right, for the Lions. That's what they always look at it as internally. So last year was the first time you had Campbell, and your message to the people was, well, you know, we're starting over from this disaster and we're probably going to suck today, but like we like our coach, and that's your message. The previous message is, you know, Patricia, disaster. Both times, the last two that he had, and really the first one was, we'll see, after you'd fired Caldwell, and that was an awkward mess. And then you go back into that, it's like 2016, 2017, the last time you can look at a Lions team that was going into a Thanksgiving Day game that had anything that wasn't like, oh my God, to think about. And you'd probably go back even further than that, because Caldwell's last couple teams didn't have the same vibe. They'd won some games, and people were expecting them to be better at that point. So this is a different sort of vibe here. This is for the first time in a long time, since probably Stafford and Calvin were young, that the Lions are going to present a young football team that they like, that has a chance to be competitive and show well for itself. I don't want to jump too far ahead here and compare them to any of those teams. But that's sort of where they're at right now, right? Like, as a team. And, like, it's interesting. And I think it's important that they were able to rally the circle the wagons, whatever. No accident that they got desperate when they did. No accident that Sheila talked when she did, that it leads up to this. You need to get it together before we go into Thanksgiving, because if we're limping into that and have to go on to, you know, NBC or whatever the hell channel this thing's on, and we're 1-9, and we're going to have to talk about how we still believe in Dan Campbell. Buddy, that is a hard, hard sell to the folks at their homes watching. So, especially if you go out and lose. So, huge! This last 3-week stretch was massive to be able to go into this game and to have good vibes. Now, you can't go out and fall on your face like you're saying, Colton, but like, think about that. All the stuff that I just reset there. Now, the Fords look at this as like almost like a bowl thing or a conference championship game. That's how they look at this. They always have. It's weird, but that's their thing. They look at this game, hey, if we're playing well on Thanksgiving, then maybe we're still, you know, going in the right direction. This is an opportunity now to show that maybe you're even going further than that. I don't know. Like, maybe. Who knows? I don't want to get too crazy there, but this is suddenly an interesting day all of a sudden.
Here's what I'll say. Because of these last three wins, it almost feels like Campbell's sort of playing with house money now.
Right.
Well, I would say, you know, looking back when they're 1-6, like,
right,
if they kept losing, if they were 1-9,
or whatever, yeah, right,
or even 2-8 going into this game, and you lose and you get blown out, then we're talking about, does Campbell have a job next year?
Exactly.
Right? So they're not there, and these last three wins have allowed that to happen, and I think the schedule after this game also allows that to happen, where they can finish still on a high note, even if they lose this one. But now, because of these wins and where they're at now, 4-6, even if they don't win, let's just, we'll start there. If they don't win, but they keep it close, they keep it competitive. And you have people saying, oh, wow, the Lions almost beat the Bills. They held firm with the Bills. I think that sort of changes the narrative about Campbell. Because I almost feel like a lot of national media still views him as a sort of meathead, like football guy,
they whatever absolutely you want
to call it. And he's more than that. And I think he's kind of proved that the last few weeks here, because these guys are listening to him and you see it on the field. They're, what's being asked of them, they're going out and performing and executing now. Some of that's just natural growth, but some of that is coaching and finally figuring out how to use these guys. So now, if you keep it closer, God forbid you win this game. My God.
Yeah, right.
What are we talking about now? 5-6?
Yeah.
Jacksonville after that?
What? Yeah. Six with Minnesota six? Coming in on like a divisional game that matters? I mean, right. Yeah, that would be a lot. I view this
as a good opportunity, a big opportunity.
Yes.
And honestly, like if they lose, like, and I even saw some people saying this on Twitter yesterday, if they lose, people aren't going to be mad,
no.
depending on how they lose. But
right, yes.
Still, if you keep it close and you lose, all of a sudden, okay, fine, we lost, short week, let's regroup. We got Jacksonville at home. That's a game you can win. All of a sudden, you're right back in the mix. So, yeah, I mean, big opportunity. I think I'm going to write a story this week about just what's at stake here if they can find a way to get it done, because I think we're not – we're talking about it, but I don't know if it's being talked enough outside of the state right now.
Right, probably not.
Outside Detroit. So
that's such a good point about Campbell that you make, you know, like, and I was glad to see that Greg Olson, the broadcast talked about Ben Johnson, you know, quite a bit during the game, and he's gotten a lot of buzz. He was on NFL Network's list there of the young assistants to watch and all this. I was glad to see Greg Olson on the broadcast give a lot of credit to Campbell. For a lot of this. And, you know, that's what Chris and I were trying to write a year or two ago when we talked to all these people that he knows. They all tell you, like, Dan Campbell is, and we see it, of course, here, he's a sharp guy with football. I mean, he is not an oaf. That's not what he is. No. He's a thinking man's football coach. You know, it's obviously there's a lot of gas and everything else that goes into that too, but he thinks about the game in a way that I think a lot of people who are super into modern football concepts and analytics and everything else, you'd be super jacked about to have a conversation with Dan Campbell about. So I think great opportunity for him, but also when you're saying that, it made me think this is a great opportunity for the country or whatever to see some of Brad Holmes's moves on display or some of his draft picks.
Yep.
Because suddenly, like we've just talked about this whole show, you could have a day where if you go out and play well, you're going to be led by pretty much all guys that he's drafted. And that's what this is for the Lions. It's not a game that you have to go win or whatever for any here, now, or whatever. But it's if you go out there and you play well and all your best players who are your young draft picks play well and show that, then you're going to get all that respect from everybody. They're going to see exactly what this is. I mean, we've been pretty consistent, I think, with our message on what we've thought the Lions are or where they're at. And they still have a ways to go and especially at quarterback and some other areas. But there are some good young pieces here, and there's been some smart decisions that have been made here, and a lot of it was getting lost in the shuffle at 1-6. And that was hard to see a little bit. That's frustrating, right? But I think now some of that's gotten cleared up a bit over the last couple weeks, and that can happen in the NFL. And now you're back to where I think they hoped they would be after the Hard Knocks, where it was like people looked in and they were like, hey, maybe I like the Lions. Maybe they aren't so – maybe this isn't a joke, right?
Yep.
You're back to that now. Like, I feel like they're back to where they were when the closing scenes of the final Hard Knocks show ended, at least to a degree. Maybe not all the way, because people were pretty insane when Hard Knocks was going on. That was nuts. But you're like at a more reasonable level of that, right? Does that make sense? Like,
it does.
Yep. You can be hopeful. You can be proud about some of the stuff you've done, but understanding that you've got a long way to go and be hopeful about it. And I think that's where Lions fans that I talk to, I tell them, like, that's where you should be. Because I've seen very little from these guys that tell me that they can't do this. You know what I mean? We have to see if they can. But I haven't – the people that wanted to – well, he reminds me of Quinn, or this move reminded me of – I have seen nothing that reminds me of Bob Quinn or Matt Patricia here, okay? Like, that's what I would say. And I think that this is another opportunity to prove that.
Now they're at a point where they can be mad at some of these early losses.
Yep.
And be like, well, if we've beaten Minnesota
– right.
If we had gotten this one, you know, we could have been winning record or 500 at this point. And I get that. But, you know, other thing, now that you brought up Hard Knocks, like, what are my takeaways from Hard Knocks? Like, why would the Lions sign up for this now?
Yeah.
They want to show off Dan Campbell. They want to show off this coaching staff.
And the culture.
The culture and everything. And also, probably want to show off some of their guys with free agency coming up.
Yes.
And knowing this is going to be a big offseason to kind of add that talent and fill the roster and do the things that Brad Holmes, quite frankly, wasn't doing before, because whether it was, you know, budget constraints or whatever,
a lot of stuff,
not,
yeah.
You're not there yet. I get it. But this is the big offseason. We talked about that. So now I also look at this Thanksgiving game. Okay, you've won three in a row. You're playing a Super Bowl contender that everyone knows with a dude like Josh Allen at quarterback. If you find a way to win this one with everyone watching, the spotlight's on you, this is your big moment. Mm-hmm. That's the same effect of Hard Knocks, in my opinion, where you can convince some of these free agents that you guys are going the right direction. Four games in a row. They see Campbell. They see these post-game locker room scenes. And they could say, hey, I want to play for that dude. This is a big test, big moment for them.
It'd be huge. I mean, to see St. Brown eating turkey down there and doing all that. I mean, it would be everything you want it to be. It would be bigger, I think, than whatever impact. Because Hard Knocks was just fairy dust. It was just picks, and it's in the air. We don't know. We'll see. This would be a four-game winning streak at the tail end where you've beaten Green Bay and, like you said, Colton, one of the best players in football today. Pretty good. Chris and I always like to talk about when we would unpack what went wrong in the Patricia era, like, and there's so many things, but we would always go back to when they were playing the Chiefs in Detroit. Like, it was the end of September, I want to say, of his second year. Maybe it was like game three or four, even, whatever it was. And they were going into a bye, and like, they had them beat. They had them beat fourth quarter, like fourth down, had them beat. And Mahomes got out of it and goes down, scores touchdown, they win the game. And it was like, I don't think Patricia won maybe two more games after that. And like, that was one where like, the building was just like unglued. Chris went down to the concourse and took like, he was going to go take a video if they got a stop on that fourth down to see like what would happen. Everything felt like it was about to turn, and then it just collapsed, right? Like, they have these moments where they tease you a little bit sometimes. And I feel like the Lions have had some of these with Campbell, but like, as long as you just keep sort of pressing the course and show what you can do, they'll respond. And I'm curious to see how this goes, because the crowd is going to be into it. It's going to be jacked up when the game starts. It'll be like the season opener. Remember how that was? Yeah. It was, I mean, and that was legit.
That was legit.
When the ball kicked off before, you know, the season started there, that was as electric as anything I've ever seen at Ford Field. So I think that you're going to see something similar on Thursday, and we'll see if they can do anything. But yeah, I mean, this is the one where you say, if you want to make a splash to the rest of the league, it's this, because this would be an actual win and things that you can really say the culture is working. You know, there's still parts that need to be fixed here, and you can be maybe that part. And I think that that's the sales pitch that you're hoping to send here.
Can you imagine the post-game locker room video that we'll get if they end up winning this one?
No, I don't like.
They might carry Campbell off.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's a fun group, and it's fun to see having fun. All right, like, I think that's we can say that they're a fun group to be around when they're having a good. They're a fun group to be around when they're losing too. To be fair,
they're not too bad.
It's fun group to be around no matter what, but it's one that definitely works hard. It's cool to see some of these guys that have worked hard get some payoff. But now it's like, now it gets harder, because now the more we expect of them, we know what you can do. We know you can go play clean football. We know what their best is, right? I think that's what we haven't been able to say that probably in a good minute with this group. So with the good comes the bad.
They're getting some reinforcements here.
Like, yep.
Jameson. We haven't talked about him. Practicing this week. Mm-hmm. Might need a few more weeks to get going, but when you get a dude like that back, Romeo Okwara, He's
Romeo too. My God.
I'm not sure when he's going to be activated, but maybe
that would
plays.
Be huge.
You know, we'll see about that. And they're
Romeo would
guys
be huge.
Back and
yeah,
he would, especially for this defense and kind of where they're at earlier. But man, it's like it's hard not to look ahead to what this can be. Right? You still want to live in the moment and be like, we know what this roster was, and they could still have some growing pains along the way. But with the way they're playing and some of the stuff, it feels sustainable. It doesn't feel like they're playing above their weight. And so it'll be interesting. We got, what, seven more games here? Something like that?
Yeah, man.
So
you get the short week, empty the tank, and then you get the little mini bye almost, because you get the weekend off. So we will see how it goes. That'll be it for us today. We'll be back early. Maybe, I don't know, we'll see you next week. Colton will get the weekend off anyway. He'll get the mini bye. And then come back on the other side to break down Lions Bills, whether it goes good, bad, or indifferent. Either way, in any event, for Colton, I'm Nick. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays, and we'll talk to you guys later.